do Agada today, not Halacha. So tomorrow we'll do Halacha. Maybe you'll let me know if you want. Maybe I'll put another poll tomorrow. Do you want to do a topic in Halacha, or do you want to just jump around and just do Halacha Kinyanim relating to Pesach? You know, a little bit of a Shechter style, a little bit of this, a little bit of that kind of thing. So you let me know what your preference is for that. But today we're doing Haggadah Be'ezras Hashem. So each year when I do Haggadah, I try to instead of doing what most people do when they do Haggadah this year, which is a collection of different nice ideas from a variety of different sources and different Haggadahs. Each year I try to take one Haggadah, learn through that Haggadah cover to cover, and try to draw out what it is that Gadol, whose Haggadah I'm learning that year, wants us to draw from the Seder, and thinks that the Baal Haggadah is really trying to tell us. I find it to be a much more powerful experience, much more meaningful experience, because, I mean, it's not as geschmack, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's much more geschmack when you have great part, great part, great part, great part. You know, no one hits a home run every time. So, like, if you're able to collect greatest hits from all the different Haggadahs, you know, that's much more geschmack, you know, in terms of that. But as far as, like, meaningfulness and really understanding what the Seder is all about, there is no way on God's green earth that the Baal Haggadah sat down and was thinking, how can I be Merames to as many geschmack of arts as I could think of so that people could do that on the Seder night? That, there's no way that was the Kavanah. The Kavanah was to pass on our emunah, to pass on our Mesorah of our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shechter often points out, and this is going to be the topic of my Shabbos HaGadol Drasha this year, that Rav Shechter often points out that B'nai Saskar has a Sefer Derech Pikudecha, where he highlights, echoing what Rishonim already wrote, that all Yud Gimel Yikari Emunah can be found in the Haggadah, because it's really all about Emunah. And it's a good game to play, Stam, you know, at the Seder. First of all, you got to know what the 13 are to start with. So maybe come with a list of the Animamans and see how many you can find. Rabbi Schnall said that he did that at his Seder, and he gave a dollar, not at the Seder, but promised a dollar, I guess, or maybe it was a Seder buck, you know, for any time a kid came up with Nikra Emunah that they found in the Haggadah. I live in the Five Towns, it would have to be $5, but still, it's a nice idea to look for ideas of Emunah. But anyway, my Haggadah this year is the Haggadah Ma'aseh Hashem. So, just curious, show of hands, how many of you have heard of the Haggadah Ma'aseh Hashem? Matan, okay, alright. So, it's not the Ma'aseh Nisim. The Ma'aseh Nisim is a commentary on the Ma'aseh Hashem. The Ma'aseh Nisim is the Nesivas. Oh, so you didn't hear of it.
No, that's the reason why I know I haven't
heard of it. Oh, you haven't heard of it because you learned the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah, right. So the most famous Haggadah is the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah, which is the Haggadah of the Nesivas HaMishpat. Now you have to say Nesivas HaMishpat. It used to be a Lifshi Yeshiva. You say Nesivas, everyone knows who you're talking about. Now everyone's like, oh, I didn't know the Rebbe so into the Slonimer. So the author of Nesivas HaMishpat wrote a Haggadah called Ma'aseh Nisim. So the Ma'aseh Nisim is really a commentary or an offshoot of the Ma'aseh Hashem. Really, he uses the Ma'aseh Hashem as his foil, or he builds on the ideas of the Ma'aseh Hashem. So that's how the whole Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah is built. So the Ma'aseh Hashem is where it all started. So I had never really looked at the original until this year. First, it was hard to find in a decent print, and now they put it out really beautifully. 7-8 years ago, they put it out really, really beautifully, like with commentary and Mar Makomos, summaries at the end of each paragraph. They even have at the back of this Haggadah the entire text of the Haggadah with a running commentary, including all of the ideas of the Ma'aseh Hashem, which is not the way the Ma'aseh Hashem wrote it. The way he wrote it is more like a Malbim, you know, like the Malbim in Tanakh, where the Malbim will say, okay, here's the section of Pesukim, and here are my 5 questions, 7 questions, whatever, that I have on the section of Pesukim, and here's my Mahalik, you know, so that answers all of the questions. So he didn't write it as like a quick, you know, question answer, here's an idea kind of thing. It was much more of a, you know, of a mahalich in each paragraph of the Haggadah. I gave a Haggadah shir last night on this Haggadah, going through from the beginning of Magid until Vihisha Amda, pretty much. So what I would like to do today just because I don't want to bore myself with saying the same thing over and over again, is to pick up at that point. And especially, it's available online. So if you're taken by this and you enjoy it, so go back and listen to the first half on your travel somewhere. You can listen on double speed, and you'll get the first half. Question. So I covered that last night also, but it's kedai to repeat that. Who wrote the Haggadah Ma'aseh Hashem? The author is Rabbi Eliezer ben Rav Elia Harofe Ashkenazi. He was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. So this Haggadah goes back a ways. I was talking to Rabbi Elia Trier at a wedding recently, and he asked me, which Haggadah are you doing this year? I said, Ma'aseh Hashem. He said, I still haven't gotten through all the Rishonim. I'm not there yet at the Achronim. So, like a real Rav Rosenzweig, I can't possibly look at an Achron until I saw every Rishon's Haggadah. So, my take on learning Haggadah is that the Rishonim have an entirely different style in terms of their commentary on the Haggadah, and the Achronish style, I think, on in terms of the Haggadah, really starts with the Ma'aseh Hashem. He was like the first of the, he was on the borderline between the Rishonim and the Achronim, and the first with that style. So I do like to make sure that I only use more, I wouldn't say classic Haggadahs, but Haggadahs that are commentaries to the Haggadah and aren't just a bunch of varts that someone collected that Rav Moshe Feinstein once said at a Shavuot Bracha, someone said here, and then they just plopped them down in the Haggadah because it sells when you put Rav Moshe's picture on the front of a Haggadah. But something that was actually written as a commentary on the Haggadah, I do prefer to use that, because then you can really get what that Gadol thinks you're supposed to get out of the Seder, what you're supposed to get out of the Haggadah itself. But I always like to use Achronim. I don't. I just find that it's a whole different signon. It's a whole different style, and it seems to talk to us a little bit more as we're preparing for the Seder. Obviously, the Rishonim are very critically important. But I don't know. When I do commentaries on Haggadah, I prefer the Gedolei Achronim. So anyway, so it's Rabbi Eliezer Ashkenazi. He was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. He was very revered by his contemporaries and by all the Gedolei HaAchronim. You will find, he collects over here in the Hakdama to this Haggadah, different places in the Tshuvas of the Beis Yosef and the Tshuvas of the Ramah, where he quotes him on Inyanim relating to Eben Ezer, Inyanim relating to Choshen Mishpat, Inyanim relating to, in all Dalim Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, Chalitza, and this and that, complicated matters, and sometimes where they say, we'll have to wait until the Gadol Ador, Rabbi Elazar Ashkenazi, paskins about something, to see what the approach should be. He apparently also wrote Chidushim on Shas, but we have very little of that. He wrote a commentary on Megillas Esther called Yosef Lekach, which we do have, and he wrote a sefer Ma'aseh Hashem al HaTorah. Now, the Ma'aseh Hashem al HaTorah has four chalakim to it. The first chalak is Ma'aseh Bereishis, which describes, it's a bi or a Ma'aseh Bereishis. Second is Ma'aseh Avos, which describes what it sounds like, meaning it's a bi or on the lives of our Avos. And the third is called Ma'aseh Mitzrayim, on Inyanei Eretz Mitzrayim. In Ma'aseh Mitzrayim, Perek Chavdalid is a bi or on the Haggadah. And that's the Ma'aseh Hashem Haggadah. So it wasn't published initially as a standalone sefer. It was part of part three of his sefer on Chumash. The fourth part is Ma'aseh Torah, which includes all the mitzvos in the Torah from Parshas Peshalach until the end of Devarim. So it doesn't exactly break down evenly in terms of the four sections of how much of the how much real estate in the Chumash it actually covers. But that's the way he broke it down. The Gedolei HaAchronim, who had great reverence for him, are really the Gedolei HaAchronim. You find the Gra says things from the Perush Yosef Lekach. In his Perush on Megillas Esther, he quotes this. The Nesivos built the entire Ma'aseh Nisim off of the Ma'aseh Hashem. So you do find that the Gedolei HaAchronim clearly, clearly revered him. The Pnei Yeshua in particular was asked to write a Haskama to one of the printings of Ma'aseh Hashem, and the Pnei Yeshua is, says that he grew up hearing about how he was a Yachid Bedoro, that Rabbi Elazar Ashkenazi was a Yachid Bedora, which is always a nice thing to say about a person, but considering that he lived in the Dor of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, Yachid Bedora takes on a certain, you know, it's quite a compliment. You know, for someone to live in that generation. So, who wrote it? Someone really big wrote it. So let's jump right into it. Midway through Magid, we're gonna jump in. Should I not do that? Do you want me to go back to the beginning? It doesn't matter, right? It's all the same. Okay. So, I do also want to highlight that there. It's always good, like when you go through a Haggadah, in case it's not 100% explicit in the Haggadah itself, to think about. What are the themes that keep coming up in this commentary? Meaning, what are the themes that clearly the author of this commentary wanted you to think? These are the core themes of the Haggadah. This is what to look for in every single section of the Haggadah. And I'm certainly not an expert. I just read through whatever I could so far. I didn't even read the whole thing yet. But it seems to me that there are four themes that keep on repeating themselves. One theme is the theme of pride in being a Jew, and pride in the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we can, he has a whole thing about Heseba, how that's not normally the way a Jew behaves, but on the Seder night, we act like a melech because we have nothing to be embarrassed about. Sometimes a person was poor at some point in their lives, and they're embarrassed about the old days when they were poor until someone was kind to them and gave them a business opportunity or whatever and enabled them. We have nothing to be embarrassed. Our avdus is not embarrassing. We have nothing to be embarrassed about. And that's a theme that comes through, that we should have great pride in being Jewish and being the Am HaNivchar. And that jumps right into the second theme of Bechiras Am Yisrael. That a theme that keeps coming up is that Avram Avinu had several children, had more than just Yitzchak, he also had Yishmael. Yitzchak had more than just Yaakov, he also had Esav. And Kodesh Baruch Hu chose us. Bechiras Am Yisrael is something that is celebrated on the night of the Seder. I mentioned in the Shir last night, Baruch Shomer Haftachasol the Yisrael, here's a good soundbite one, right? Baruch Shomer Haftachasol the Yisrael, he says, well, you know, what's the big deal that Hashem keeps his promises? Everybody's got to keep their promises. Mamish, today's Daf Yomi, yesterday's Daf Yomi, Mishapara, Mechusrei Amana, you got to keep your promises. That's a requirement to keep your promises. He says, no, you're putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable over there. It's not Baruch Shomer Haftachasol. It's Baruch Shomer Haftachasol the Yisrael. He had a promise that Avraham Avinu's children were going to be Avadim, and then they were going to be freed, and they were going to be chosen as God's nation. Avraham had Yishmael also. It could have been Esav also. But Shomer Haftachasol the Yisrael, that Kodesh Baruch Hu kept his promise to the Jewish people. The sense of Am HaNivchar that we have, that Nivchar means we were chosen over others who also maybe would have been eligible to be in the conversation. Third theme that comes out is that our purpose on this earth is to be Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim. That our purpose on this earth is not to live an easy life, an enjoyable life. The purpose on this earth is to be Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim as much as possible. To let it be known to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to the world, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special relationship with the Klal Yisrael. To be Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim. And he says, that's why, I mentioned last night's shir, he says, that's why, you know, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that B'chol Dover Dor Omdim Aleinu L'chal Oseinu V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzil Leinu Miyadam. So he says, I don't know, I would think, you know what's even better than being the one that's threatened to be killed every single generation and Hashem saves us every generation? How about being the other guy that's not threatened to be killed? Like, wouldn't that be like even more geschmack than being the guy? He said, yeah, if your goal in life is to live an easy life, then yeah, then of course it's more geschmack not to be threatened to be killed. But that's not what life is about. What life is about is being Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim. Being Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim means that there is a clear threat against us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, so that it gives the opportunity for recognition of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Iran could just as easily not send 300 missiles to Eretz Yisrael. But when it does, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of the sky, and make no mistake about it, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of the sky, using whatever vehicles he uses, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of the sky. That's Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim. So we have that responsibility of being Mefarsim Kvod Shemayim, and that's the chief responsibility of a Jew. The fourth theme that that continuously comes through is that the, and this is something that the Nesivos talks about a lot, and a lot of others also talk about, is while there's a Shibur HaGuf and a Shibur HaNefesh, and there's a Shichur from the Shibur HaGuf and a Shichur from the Shibur HaNefesh, the real, real focus is the spiritual danger and the spiritual salvation. The physical danger, physical salvation, it's not even like a, you know, like a secondary. It's below secondary. It's not even, it's not really a point of focus. A lot, and you'll see consistently throughout the Haggadah, when the Baal Haggadah seems to emphasize physical things, in the Maaseh Hashem, he says, it's not what you think it is. It's not really about physical things. And that brings us right into our first thought for today from the Maaseh Hashem. So the Maaseh Hashem is commenting on Seulamad Mabi Keshlovan Arami Lasos Yaakov Avinu. I should mention, keep giving Hakdamas, I should mention that his text of the Haggadah is not exactly perfectly aligned with our text of the Haggadah. He has some differences in text. So, like, for example, he has a whole shtickle Torah called Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Areza Meshubach. That anyone who's Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim is Meshubach, and he has a whole kasha. What do you mean? If you do any mitzvah, you're not Meshubach, you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing. Why do you say Kol Mesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Areza Meshubach? And in our Haggadah, it's not a kasha, because our Haggadah does not say that. What does our Haggadah say? Called marvelous hotness. It makes a lot more sense, right? That it's Meshubach. So, you know, he does have slight variations in the Nusach. I don't think it impacts any of the words we're going to say today, but I just put it out there in case it does. So anyway, so he's working on the piece, Tseyulaman Mad Bikesh Lovan Arami Lasos Yaakov Avinu. Now we go back to Lovan Arami, what he tried to do to Yaakov Avinu. Shapar lo gazra la l'zchor v'lovan bikesh lakor sakol shenemar. And then we start with the psukim, Arami Ovi Rabi Vayir Mitzrayim V'yar B'Sham Seymad V'Yisham L'Gay Gadol Atzum V'Rav. So he wonders, the idea of Tseyulaman Mad Bikesh Lovan, if it's going about if it's trying to emphasize the idea that you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to put down our enemies that are able to do terrible things to us, so why are we quoting from Arami Ovid Avi in Dvarim Perek Chavav? You know, Yesh L'Kel Yadi La Sosi Machim Ra. You want to highlight that Lavan is a threat? In Bereishis, Lavan, it's expressed that Lavan is a threat to Klal Yisrael. And furthermore, why doesn't it say in Mishneh Torah the Hatzala, like it talks about the Sakana? And you can't say the Hatzala is Yadua, because we weren't destroyed, because then Yetzias Mitzrayim is also Yadua. And yet the Mevi Bikurim has to say V'yotzienu Hashem. So the Mevi Bikurim highlights the threat of Lavan using a pasuk that's not even from Bereishis, and he never highlights that we were saved from Lavan, and yet he does highlight that we were saved from Mitzrayim. And also, if you want to highlight somebody historically that has nothing to do with Mitzrayim that wanted to kill us, and you're going to bring from Sefer Bereishis, why Lavan? Lavan wasn't the only one that wanted to kill us in Sefer Bereishis. Prior to the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was another character in Sefer Bereishis, and that was Esav. So why not highlight Esav? So another point that I meant to mention before we go to the answer is that a lot of the things he says, you'll hear them and you'll be like, that's famous, everyone knows that. Just keep in mind, it's famous because he wrote it, right? Meaning, a lot of the famous words became famous and are repeated by all the later Achronim because someone came up with them, right? So here's his idea. He says, the primary idea of Arami Ovid Avi is that Lavan wanted not to destroy us physically, but to destroy us spiritually, to take away our religion, our emunah, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Ovdei Avodah Zarah, just like he was Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And it's not about, what we're trying to highlight, is not about the physical threat that he posed to us. And that's what Arami, which is Lavan, is Oved, wanted to seduce Es Avi, Yaakov Avinu, to pull him away from his religion, from his emuna. And that's what the Magid means when he says, love and bikesh lakar sakol. He wanted to be oker esakol, what's really important in life, and that is emuna from Yaakov Avinu, and who was the first one. Why do you say hakol? It's every word is so critically calculated. Lakar esakol, he was the first one that on a spiritual level had hakol. He's the first one that had all of his children on the same spiritual page as he was. So he was mitaso shleima. Lovin wanted to be oker, the one who had hakol. He wanted to be oker, that fullness of a spiritual experience, and bring us toward avodah zarah. And that explains why it doesn't mention the hatzalah from Lovin. Because it's not about Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he saved Yaakov b'nei Beso from the physical threat of Lavan. It mentions Zakana Varami Ovid Avi to describe what caused us to go down to Mitzrayim. Because Rami Ovid Avi, that Lavan was a very dangerous threat to Klal Yisrael, to take us away from our religion, to become of the Avodah Zarah. So we had to go to Mitzrayim rather than to Lavan's family in order to be able to find bread in the time of famine. Meaning Yaakov Avinu made a conscious choice. Well, I don't know where he gets this from. It must be Midrashim like this, that Mitzrayim wasn't the only place to get food. And it wasn't even the most natural place to go to get food. He could have also gone to family that were living in a different place to be able to try to secure food. Typically, when a person is struggling financially or they're struggling, they can't afford grocery bills or whatever, first people they turn to is family, not some complete stranger somewhere else. The fact that they couldn't turn to Lavan is because Arami Yovid Avi. It's an introduction to Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's an introduction to how we got down to Mitzrayim in the first place. And he says, and that's why we highlight Lavan and not Esav. Esav just wanted us dead. Lavan wanted to destroy us spiritually. He then moves on to the next paragraph where we describe Vayerid Mitzrayimah Anus Al Pi Adibur, that we came down to Mitzrayim and we were Anus Al Pi Adibur Vayagursham Lamisho Yaakov Avinu Lishtakev Mitzrayim Lagursham. Yaakov Avinu wasn't planning on staying there for long. He just was going to stay there for a short time, etc. So his suffix that he raises is what are we? What difference does it make to us whether Yaakov came down ba'ones or baratzon, that he was anus al pi adibor? Why does that? How does that impact the story in any way that he was anus? That he was anus al pi adibor. So he suggests that the shevach of the mevi bikurim is meaning. And these are all drushes from Sukkim of mevi bikurim. People who bring bikurim. So why is the Mevi Bikurim, why is that an important point? When I'm bringing Bikurim, I need to mention that Yaakov Avinu ended up in Mitzrayim Anus Al Pi Adibur. What does that have to do with Bikurim? I have first fruits that grew in Eretz Yisrael. What does that have to do with Anus Al Pi Adibur? So he says that the Shevach of Mevi Bikurim is the Shevach of us getting Eretz Yisrael. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that that when we receive Eretz Yisrael, it should be with absolute shleimus. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved the chess pieces in history that we would receive Eretz Yisrael in the aftermath of the Yetzias Mitzrayim that happens with Osos and Mosim, that happens with great miracles and great fanfare. So all the other nations will not be able to say that we stole Eretz Yisrael, because everyone will have had a perfectly clear picture of God. Everyone in the world will have been able to say Zekeli Van Veyu. Everyone will be able to appreciate that it's the Yad Hashem that's running things. And that's the shleimus of the Shevach of the Mevi Bikurim. Al Adama Shernasatali. Adama Shernasatali means the land that undoubtedly belongs to me. The land that no one can have any tainas on, that belongs to me, that belongs to us. So if that's the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim Ba'osos Mosim, strengthens our claim on Eretz Yisrael. So it's clear that the Ratzon of a Kadosh Baruch, when you read this Yaakov Avinu and his children, was a Ratzon Muchlat. It was something that was absolute, because through that Metzius, it led to a Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Inyan of Anus Al Pi Adibur is inseparable from the Shevach of Mevi Bikurim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already moving the chess pieces to make sure that the episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to happen. He had to have Yaakov Avinu there. That's what Anus Al Pi Adibur is highlighting, that the Anus Al Pi Adibur set the stage for our claim to Eretz Yisrael, which is what the Mevi Bikurim is really saying. And he says, you know, it's a little bit interesting because we say Anas Lapiya Dibur, it's not really what the Chumash says. Chumash says Yaakov went to Be'er Sheva on his own, and when he got to Be'er Sheva, Hashem says to him, Al Tira Mirdam Mitzrayim. Don't worry about going down to Mitzrayim. You know, that you don't have to worry about continuing on this path that you already started on. Didn't sound like he was Anas. So he says, no, but that's exactly the point. Anas Lapiya Dibur doesn't mean that Hashem forced him. Anas Lapiya Dibur means that Hashem set up a situation where Yaakov would have no choice but to go. And that the whole Anas Lapiya Dibur is the Yad of Hashkacha. It's Hashkachas Hashem making sure that history is going to play out the way it was meant to play out. And Yaakov thinks he's going on his own volition, but Hashem is just moving the chess pieces to make sure that Yaakov goes, so that we'll be able to one day experience a Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, moving on. The Magid highlights that Vayisham Legoy Gadol. So what do we learn from the word Gadol? Remember? Been to the Seder before? Shai Legoy Gadol Melamed Shai Mitziyad Misham. Right? Gadol means not that we were... Now, what does the word Gadol normally mean? Big. It normally doesn't mean Mitziyanim. It normally means that we were a lot. So, Meichitesi. That Gadol means Mitziyanim Shah. How do I know that doesn't just mean that we were big, that we were a large nation? So he said, yeah, Enochinami, Gadol could have been explained to mean Riboy Akamos, or it could have been explained to mean Riboy Ha'echos. But over here, when it says Ve'isham Legoy, it's clearly talking about Riboy Ha'echos. It's clearly talking about how qualitatively we were different, that we're Mitzionim Shem. Because if it's about the Riboy Ha'kamos, the Torah could have just said, Vayerin Mitzrayma, Vayihi L'Goy Gadol. And then we'd understand that after some time, Am Yisrael became a Goy Gadol, that we became a large nation. Vayamas Yosef, Chalacha, V'chaladaruhu, and then Bnei Yisrael Paru, Vayishritzu. So the fact that the Torah says, Vayihi Shom L'Goy Gadol, not Vayihi L'Goy Gadol, Vayihi Shom L'Goy Gadol, implies Shom, right then, right there, we immediately became a Goy Gadol. Now, growing in numbers, that takes time. Vayisham L'Goy Gadol is mashma tekef miyad. That as soon as we showed up, we were already a Goy Gadol. What do you mean? We showed up with Shivim Nefesh. How is it that we were a Goy Gadol? Elamai, Gadol does not mean that we were so plentiful, that we were so many. Gadol means that we were Mitzionim Shem. And that's something that's part of the nature of a Jew. That the Jewish people have always, if you ask your average person on the street in any country in the world, what percentage of the Jewish of the world population is Jewish? If they never saw the numbers and they only know it just based on how much Jews are spoken about, whether it be in the news or whether it be in scientific advancements or whatever else, how much Jews are accomplished and are spoken about, they would guess a much, much higher percentage than the Jewish people actually are. Because we are always Mitzionim Shem. Wherever we go, that's just the nature of the Jew, is that the Jew is always Mitzionim Shem. So that's something that happens, Tekef Miyad. That's Riboy HaKamos can't happen, Tekef Miyad. Then the Magid goes on to say, Vayinu Aleinu Avodah Kasha, K'mashur Avayinu Mitzrayim Esmerei Sol Befarech, that it was Avodah Kasha. So he says, why is it that the Magid, you know, the Magid, what does he do? He starts a Pesukim and he brings Pesukim as Rayas to those, you know, to those Pesukim. That this Pasuk means this. How do I know that? Because there's another Pasuk that indicates that this Pasuk means this. Right? That's the basic structure of Magid, if you're paying attention to the structure, right? So what does it say? So he says, is that the best Pasuk to bring? To show that we worked hard is Vayidim Mitzrayim Esmerei Sol Befarech. Why not Vayimaru Es Chayehem BaAvodah Kasha? Right? It says in the Chumash Vayimaru Es Chayehem BaAvodah Kasha. Why would you say that? Why would you quote a pasuk instead of Vayidim Mitzrayim Esmerei Sol Befarech? So he says that there are two reasons that we'd rather not quote the pasuk of Vayimaru. Number one is that the Baal HaGadol wants to emphasize how terrible the Shibud was. For no good reason. Meaning it's not like Mitzrayim got together once and they said, look, we need someone to build our highways. And it's just not the kind of work that our native people are willing to do. So we need to get some slaves so someone will build our highways. It's not what happened. They didn't need this work. We were building walls that were just sinking in the ground. It was just to keep us busy. It was just to make us work hard. If you had Vayimaru, if and you quoted the pasuk Vayimaru Chayim Bavodah Kasha, that would mean the impact it had on us. Va'avidu Mitzrayim es Bnei Yisrael Befarech. That tells us from the Mitzrayim perspective that what Mitzrayim was doing, their whole point was just to make us work Befarech, as opposed to our Merirus in our Avodah Kasha. The point is that they had no use for the work that we were doing. They just wanted to make us suffer. The second reason he says that we quote this pasuk is from the pasuk Vayimaru. It only is mochiach that we found the work to be bitter, but it doesn't necessarily indicate that it was really, really objectively hard work. So we say Vayavidu Mitzrayim, where the avoda itself was kasha lehem, that it wasn't just that we found it bitter, but that the avoda itself was avoda kasha. That's his second mahalich. Moving along in darshaning these psukim, so he has a yesod in tefillah. He says, pasuk says, "Venitzak al Hashem Elokei Avoseinu veYishma Hashem Eskolenu veYaras Anyenu veSamalenu veSlachetzenu." Right, so we elaborate on that those psukim that describe the tefillah. Right, "Venitzak Hashem El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu kemashenemar veYibayim Ravim veYomos Malch Mitzrayim veYom Kumidei Solon Avoda veYizak veAtal Hashem Asam Elokim mina Avoda." That our tefillos went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, if the Magid really wants to be Melchiach, that we cried out in Mitzrayim, why does he have to bring the whole pasuk that mentions that the tefillah went up to Shemayim? Meaning, there. If you, it's better if you have Agada. But if you look in Agada, V'netzak Hashem El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, that's the paragraph that describes that we davened. Then the next paragraph is Vayishma Hashem Eskolenu. That's the paragraph that describes that the tefillah was received. Why in the paragraph about us davening do we mention Vatahal Shavasam Elokim in Avoda? That belongs in the next paragraph about the tefillah being received, not in the paragraph about the tefillah being offered. Why is it mentioned in this paragraph? It should have said Vayonch Bnei Solom in Avoda, and that's it. And the fact that the tefillah was received, that's next. Vayishma Hashem Eskolenu. So he says what the Magid is trying to tell us is that, yeah, we kvetched, we cried out. But that's not the point over here. The point is that we didn't cry because we were angry. We didn't cry because we were tired. We didn't cry because we had tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a tefillah utsa'aka that came from a place of tshuva, that came from a place of wanting to draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the raya is from the end of the pasuk that Vatal Shavasam El Elokim, that our tefillos went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. El Elokim, he says, is not only going on the Aliyas Hashava, the Aliyah of the tefillah, it's also on the Tza'aka, that what bothered us was where we were spiritually, meaning we understood our punishment as an impetus to improve spiritually, to lead us to a sense of tshuva. A lot of times, Klal Yisrael cries out, and it's important to realize that the greatest form of tefillah, is when we're davening for the Kavod Shemayim. And again, this is a theme that comes up over and over and over in the Sagada. The greatest form of everything is for Kavod Shemayim. What's the most powerful tefillah we have? The Gemara says in Brachos that at this tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu laments the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the right. That's Kaddish, right? You say Yehishmei Rabba Mivarach. What are we saying in that tefillah? The whole thing is Yiskadal Yiskadash Shemei Rabba. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be exalted. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. More than davening for ourselves, we're davening for the Kavod Shemayim. We're davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the greatest form of tefillah. So this is not a description of how the tefillah was accepted. This is a description of the motivation of tefillah. Why then does it mention, on a separate note, he raised the question, the beginning of the pasuk seems unnecessary also. It mentions that the Melech Mitzrayim died. Who cares what was going on with the Melech Mitzrayim when we daven? The point is that we daven. So this is probably one of the more famous ideas that he says. And he says that the fact that the Melech Mitzrayim died just highlights that we were so busy with our work that we couldn't take a minute to breathe and realize how busy we were with our work until the Melech Mitzrayim died, where there was a day off, and we would think, and that gave us time to internalize just how awful our experience was. Then another yisod in tefillah that he draws out of this paragraph, he says, you know, it says Vayishma Hashem Elokim Esna Kasam, that Hashem heard, meaning on the next section of the paragraph where it says Hashem heard our tefillos, it's Kamash Nemar Vayishma Elokim Esna Kasam. So he wonders, why does the Maggid bring that end of the pasuk that Hashem heard that Hashem remembered the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? What does the Zechiras bris have to do with this tefillah? So he says that the Maggid wants to be mochiach from the pasukim in Parsha Shmos that which the Mevi Bikurim says v'nitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, that it's mashva that our entire tefillah was b'zchus avos, and therefore it's not enough to just say v'yishma elokim esna kasam. That's only a raya that we were davening about something. It's from the end of the pasuk v'yishkar elokim where you see that he remembers the bris avos, and that the tefillah was in the b'zchus avos, which is again another yisod in tefillah. Tefillah should be with a sense of kvod shemayim at stake, that whatever happens bad to the Jewish people is a chilul Hashem, and that ultimately is the primary purpose of tefillah, because again, one of the yisodos of this whole Haggadah is that we're not here on this earth to enjoy life. We're here on this earth to be marbuk v'chamayim. So to the extent that we cry out about our suffering, it's because that's a chilul Hashem. It's a lack of kvod shem shamayim. And tefillah should never come with a sense of us feeling that we deserve better. If there's any zuchus for which we deserve better, it's the zuchus avos. And I said zuchus avos is one of the four things that led to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's what we highlight over here, that when Hashem hears our tefillah, the best kind of tefillah is a tefillah that's offered with the zuchus avos. In fact, every single Shemone Esrei starts out by highlighting zuchus avos. Okay, skipping ahead a little bit to the Makos. He discusses the following. He has two sveikos about the makos. Subject number one is why 10? Everything is significant. So why did Hashem choose 10 makos? And second, what's the kunz of Rabbi Yehuda Simanim? Rabbi Reisman pointed out, you know, that first seder in Mitzrayim, we had a seder the first night in Mitzrayim, right? When we brought the carbon, that first carbon Pesach. So the tzach adash biya. Piach, right? Makos Bechoros hadn't happened yet, right? So I guess it wasn't 10 in the first Seder. It's only been 10 since then. They were still waiting on Makos Bechoros, right? The kasha they ask is that it's asymmetrical, right? The Tzach Hadash Piachav. It started symmetrical. Then Hashem did one more. And therefore it had to be, it had to be Tzach Hadash Piachav. Maybe that's what Rebbe is drawing our attention to, right? By saying, by splitting up into that group, that you think it was always 10. The first time we had a Seder, it was even before the 10th Makkah. Right? That's not what the Maaseh Hashem says over here. So he says, why 10, and what's the story of the Simanim? So he says, 10, he says, is that the purpose of all of the Makkahs was to show Hashkachas Hashem on the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls nature, and therefore can do anything he wants with nature. So 10 is Keneged Briyas Olam, which was Nivra Ba'asarim Amaros. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Asarim Amaros, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to manipulate the nature and going to manipulate the creation in 10 ways to hearken us back, to bring us back to the fact that he's the Borei Olam. Now, the idea of the Simanim draws, and this a lot of Rishonim say in slightly different ways, Rabbeinu Bechaya has a presentation of it. The idea of the Simanim is to highlight that there's a pattern to the Makos, and it's in patterns of three. It's in sets of three. The way the Maaseh Hashem teaches it up is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to toy with the Egyptians. He wanted to get them thinking, well, just how powerful is this God? Just how capable is this God? So he started with a makkah that affects something that's rachok from them, that's a little bit distant from them. They say, okay, he can affect something distant from us. And then the next makkah would be like in their house. Okay, he can affect something that's in our hands. Then the next makkah was on their body, right? And he's, ooh, this is getting a little close. and they're terrified, what's the next makkah going to be? Right? What's the next shoe going to... And then what did he do? He went right back to something far away from them. Right? He went right just to toy with them, just to get them thinking, oh, maybe not. Maybe he's not. He's not all-powerful. And he says that's how it works out in these groups. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings makkas dam. That's on the Ya'or. It's far away from them. And then the Tzvardim, they're all in the house. I believe the song says that they were in Paro's bed, on his head, in his, right, in his pajamas. So they're all over his house, right? It's Maimon Chazal, no? They're all over his house. And then comes the Kinim. The Kinim are very close to his body. And then the Paro gets worried, uh-oh, maybe it's going to be Pogea in my guf, mamish. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, toying with the Mitzrim, brings Makos Arov, Dever, which are Rachok Mina Adam, and then they have a room to make a mistake, that Kaviyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the ability to be Pogea Begufam, and then he brings them Shchin, which is much closer to their Guf. And then finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, if you go follow through the order of the Makos, he doesn't hit them in the Guf until Makos Becharos. So he keeps on doing these things that affect them in ways that are back and forth a little bit until to get them to question whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really all capable, and then ultimately he hits them with Makas Becharos. The other day we had visiting Talmidim from Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael who were checking out the yeshiva. So they asked me to speak to the Talmidim during lunchtime. So I gave Haggadah Dvar Torah. And then they told me to open up the floor to questions, which is always dangerous because most of the questions they have, I don't know answers to. So one of the Talmidim asked, "What's the math game with the numbers of makos that we play in the?" Oh, you think it was 10 makos? Yeah, but at the yam it was 50 because there's etzba alakim and there's yad alakim. Oh, but connected each word and then right. Well, what's this game? Kam alakub etzba eser makos. For the mitzvayim blakub etzba al yam blakub chamish makos. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Minayin Shkol Mako Mako, Shem Yikosh Baruch Hal Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is Shal Arba Makos. No, really, every Mako was four Makos. And Rabbi Akiva says, I think even better. Minayin Shkol Mako Mako, Shem Yikosh Baruch Hal Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is Shal Chomish Makos. Every Mako was really five Makos. Because Charon Apo, Evrov, Azam, Mitzor, Mishach, Malach, Eroim. So that's five. So, what exactly is going on over here? What are we adding with these drushas? So one of the Talmidim asked me that, and I said, I have no idea. Had he asked me 2 days later, I would say, oh, I just saw in the Maaseh Hashem Agada that he has a Mahalich. So his Mahalich is as follows. He says, the truth is, none of this whole math with the Makos and all that, it's none of the Rambam's Agada. It's none of the original Nusach HaAgada. This is all later add-ins, meaning if you're not sure when someone should take a break or a woman wants to go and prepare the Suda or whatever, went to take a break at the Magid, not a bad place. Meaning, in terms of level of importance of Pesach Matzah Umara versus this, right? So Pesach Matzah Umara is like, would take priority over these numbers. So he said, what is this doing in the Nusach HaGadah? He said, this is called a Marvel Sabra B'tzias Mitzrayim Areza Meshubach. And the Iker Indian of Marvel Sabra B'tzias Mitzrayim Areza Meshubach is to highlight that Hashem did many, many makos, much more than we are aware of when we just see the story. Because that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates in general. Meaning when we see a Yeshua Hashem, we've seen the tip of the iceberg. And we're therefore highlighting the Inyan of Marvel Saper. What do you mean Marvel Saper? I know the story. No, the Inyan of Marvel Saper is to appreciate that whatever we were able to see is only the tip of the iceberg. So that's exactly what we're doing over here. We're saying, oh, you think it was only 10 makos? Tip of the iceberg. It was way, way more than that. It was way, way more than that. It's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides most of the things that he does for our benefit. And he says also it's a fulfillment. It's always better to highlight all the things that Hashem did to Mitzrayim because we have a haftacha, kol ha-machla shesamti b'Mitzrayim lo asim alecha, that Hashem says, whatever machla I've gave to Mitzrayim, I'm not going to give to you. So we're like, the more we can bring out things that we appreciate that Hashem did to Mitzrayim, it's haftacha that those things won't happen to us. So we want to try to increase the numbers as much as possible. And, you know, if only we could find cancer in there, you know, like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that to Mitzrayim. Maybe Hashem would stop doing that to us also, right? Whatever Hashem does to Mitzrayim, he doesn't do to us. He then discusses just a very quick ha'ara that he has, which is very fascinating. He says, how does the Magid bring a raya that the Makos in Mitzrayim were be'etzba? Right? How do I know that the Makos in Mitzrayim were be'etzba Elokim and Aliyam was the Yad? Because the pasuk says, Vayomru ha'chartumim el paro etzba Elokimi. Meaning the Baal HaGadol is highlighting, how do I know that by the Yam was five times more than it was by than it was by in Mitzrayim? Because the Mitzrayim was etzba, and by the Yam was yad. Who told us it was etzba in Mitzrayim? That was the Chartumim. Maybe they're just lying, right? How do I know? How can we trust the Chartumim to know what's etzba lukim and what's the yad Hashem? So he says, just a very powerful part. He said, Yodea, Lev Yodea Maros Nafsho, that when a person is suffering, no one knows they're suffering more than they do. So if a person is suffering, and the ones that are getting hit, they know exactly what they're getting hit with. So they are a better measure of what was happening to them than anyone else will be a measure of what's happening to them. It's stam a good thing, Ben Adam L'Chaveru, to always recognize that. A lot of times the person is going through something, and if you haven't had that same experience, you just can't appreciate what they're going through. Someone has, even let's say, a physical pain, that there's some condition that they have. If you've never had that condition, it's like, just take some Advil already. Like, you know, like get through it. All right, you know, grin a bit. If you haven't had that pain, if you don't feel that pain, I think they say they did studies about doctors, you know, when they estimate the pain of their patients, they're way off because it doesn't hurt them. It only hurts the patient. So if you're not experiencing that pain at the same time, it's very, very hard to feel that. Lev Yodea Maros Nafsho. Says, what's the Nekudas Samachlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva over here? Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol Mako Mako Shevikos Rokha Mitzvim was Arba Makos, because Evrach, Zam, Shtayim, Sara, Shalosh. Mishlachas Malachi Royim Arba, and Rabbi Akiva says no, it was five. Charona Poachas Evroshtayim Zam Shalosh Sora Arba Mishlachas Malachi Royim Chamesh. So what are they arguing about? Whether it's four or five, and also, no one could think that maybe it's six. Charon Achas Apo Shtayim. Right? Why is Charon Apo necessarily one? Right? No one thought to like split that one up. So he says that it can't be more than five, because the five relates to. The five relates to the Nezek, Tzar, Ripoy, Shefes, and Boshes. That the Hezek that they experienced was on five levels. And he says, that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas from Yekiva Rebbe Elazar. Do you count Ripoy as one of their Tzaras? I mean, you would think Ripoy is not a Tzar. Ripoy is their Refuah. Yeah, but the Refuah had to come from Moshe and Aaron. And that's a Tzar. When the people who brought you the pain are the ones that you have to rely on to take you out of the pain, That might be a tzar also. Maybe that's the Nekudas HaMachlokas, he said, between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. And everyone's going to limit it at five because there's only Nezek, Tzar, Ripoy, Shefes, and Boshes. But is the suffering a fourfold suffering or is it a fivefold suffering? And what they're arguing about is whether experiencing a Ripoy through Moshe and Aaron, whether that's considered to be its own personal tzar for them. He then says, some of the more famous words on Dayenu, which I think I might have mentioned in my show last night, but I'll mention again, where he says that, you know, how can you say Dayenu about so many of these things? Dayenu, we would have been dead without a lot of these things. You can't really say that it would have been sufficient. So obviously the real pshat, and the pshat everybody says, is Dayenu clearly doesn't mean we would have been A-OK. But he says it in his way of saying it. The goal of life is not to be A-OK. The goal of life is to be Marba Kavod Shemayim. Again, that's the theme that he keeps coming back to. The goal of life is to be Marba Kavod Shemayim. So each of these things, Dayenu, that it creates a great Riboy Kavod Shemayim, that it creates a great Pearson of Kavod Shemayim, which is what we look to be the vehicles of. If we can be the vehicle of a great Pearson of Kavod Shemayim, then that's what we're looking to get out of life. And that's what he means by Dayenu. And he says that an innovative art, that's what it ends with, Al Achas Kama Vakama. Tova Kfula Muchpelis. Kfula Muchpelis sounds like something that's the same thing over and over again. Right? Meaning all the lists and all the things in the Dayenu were not the same thing. They were different items. How do you call that kfula mukhpela? It should have been riboy hatovos or something like that. Why tfalu ktovu kfula mukhpelas? So he says, al achas. That all of this kama v'kama was really for achas. It was really for only one reason, one goal. It was all for one purpose. To be marbu kvot shemayim. And Elamayah, Kodesh Baruch Hu did it in all these 15 different ways. It was kfula mukhpelas. Kodesh Baruch Hu did it this way and that way and that way and that way to be marbu kvot shemayim. So that's how he understands why we conclude that paragraph with Al Achas Kama Bekama, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu did this Tova Kfula Umuchupelas. We have time for one or two more. We then go on to say, Marar, you know, Matzah, Pesach Matzah Mar. He says, you know, you're going to ask what the Karban Pesach is about. Okay, it's a little mysterious what exactly the Karban Pesach was really all about. You're going to ask what the Matzah is about. Very mysterious. Is it lechem oni? Is it the bread of affliction? Is it the bread of freedom? Marar zesh anochem al shema. What do you think it's about? Right? Meaning, why is that something that's a mystery at all? Marar zesh anochem al shema. Why does the Maggid have to quote a pasuk? Oh, you know what it's about? It's about the fact that it really stunk for us in Mitzrayim. You know, and what do we quote? Shenemar vayimaru es chayem b'avodah kasha. B'chomer, v'levenim, v'chol avodah basada, eskol avodah v'mvarach. Way too many words. Now, if you're trying to be concise over here, it should be marzel shema al shem shemiru mitzvim schayev v'sein mitzvim shenemar v'yemaru schayev b'avodah kasha. Period. Stop it right there. We're not so mocked to finish every pasuk all the time. Right? So why do we have to quote the end of the pasuk? Oh, it was in avodah that was b'chomer, v'levenim, out of the sada. So he says that... that the idea over here is that the Maggid was bothered why the Torah says dafka to eat a yerek chai, a raw vegetable for Mara. There are plenty of things that are very bitter, but we there are five vegetables that you're allowed to eat for Mara, and that's it, right? I mean, obviously, if you don't have those vegetables, Allah is eat, you know, other things that are the other vegetables that are bitter, but I don't know, maybe you should just have I don't know, something that's not a vegetable that's bitter. You have to have a bitter vegetable. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu make it that that's the halacha? So the Maggid says, because it's not just to remember that there was merirus, but remembering the nature of the merirus. It was merirus that was out in the sadeh. So we take that which grows in the field and we eat. We eat that which grows in the field, the yerek chai, a raw vegetable as it grows as a raw vegetable in the field, and we sense the merirus. And that's why that's what the Mara is about. So we're asking Mara Zal Shema is not why do we have to have something bitter, it's why do we have to have this thing that is bitter.
The last one,
we get
a Varna Shulchan
Aruch.
Never heard
of one. A Varna Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't have, he only has on Maj. I mean, he has on Hallel, but he doesn't have on. Right. Yeah, it's a commentary on the Maj, so it's not. I can tell you stuff on Hallel. We have 3 minutes, maybe we'll do one on Hallel. So he says in the Hallel we say that Beis Yaakov may am loez. What is an am loez exactly? Just taich. What exactly is an am loez? So he says one possibility is that was the language. It's a reference to the language of Mitzrayim, that they spoke some sort of Italian. He says, which is called loazis. And therefore, it's called Loes because of their language. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out. He took out Betzesi, Solomon, and Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov from an Am Loes. Or he says that Loes is a lashon of Laaz. That Mitzrayim was motzi Laaz on the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. They were motzi Laaz on, you know, because we were avadim for all those years. And you think they were sholit begufam? You don't think they were sholit benashos sayem? So the whole Yichus is messed up. Probably there were Sholei B'nash Hoseim as well. So that's what we're saying. Me'am Loes, from the nations that speak Laz. That's a particularly resonant Vart, Bizmanenu. Of all of the ways that Klal Yisrael is suffering right now, a huge part of it is the terrible, terrible Hotza'as La'az in the world against Klal Yisrael. Right, that there's just so much sheker that fills the world. On every news station, every politician, every talking head, there's so much la'az spoken against Klal Yisrael, against Am Yisrael. And one of the things we celebrate is that Kodesh Baruch Hu takes us out. May Am Lois, from an Am that's Motzi Laz against Klal Yisrael with Shkarim, with things that are not true. And we should be able to, by the time we sing this Hallel, to see that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu has indeed released us from the Am Lois. Okay, have a great day, everybody. And tomorrow we will do Halacha. But you let me know what kind of Halacha you want to do tomorrow. Okay, great.